Good morning, and welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville. Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship him. Thank you. We have a number of announcements this morning. First of all, I was handed this from Nancy Older. Please announce that there will be no Kids Club on November 11th, that is Wednesday, because there is no school. And there will be no Christian Kids Club on Wednesday. So we have a number of other announcements. You will have, it's almost Christmas. isn't it surprising to see, as soon as Halloween was over, they started putting all the Christmas things out in the stores. And just so we don't fall behind, we have in your chimes, there is a notice for Christmas poinsettias for 2015. Okay? And it's that time of year again. We will deck the halls Saturday, November 28th from 9:30 to 12. We will decorate the sanctuary, the dining room, hallways, and classrooms. And children, if they are coming, must be accompanied by an adult. That's another insert in your chimes. Today, Linger a While Coffee Hour will be after church. All are invited to join us in the dining room after worship for a time of fellowship and goodies. Workday is Tuesday, November 10th from 9 to 12, and extra hands are always welcome. And Junior Youth Group will meet next Sunday after church. Are there any other announcements? No? The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn is found in the Brown Hymnal on page 687, God of Our Fathers, verses 1, 2, and 4, and please stand. Call to worship this morning is a responsive reading found in your chimes. Let us ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Bring an offering as you come into God's courts. Let us pray. To you, O Lord, we offer ourselves as individuals and as a corporate body to do as you will now and tomorrow and always with body, mind, and spirit. For it is in your name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Thank you. Please be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. At this time, we have an opportunity to share our blessings with people close by and with people around the world. Our offertory hymn is found in the Brown Hymnal on page 516, Give of Your Best to the Master, verses 1 and 3.
receive, God in heaven, not only our gifts, but also our prayers, our concerns, our commitment, our love, and our devotion. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture reading this morning is Psalm 146, found in your pew Bibles on page 581. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no help. His breath departs, he returns to his earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. The God, O Zion, of all generations, praise the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Our anthem this morning is My Daily Prayer by our sanctuary choir.
Chuck Swindoll has written a devotional called Wisdom for the Way, and I'd like to share one of those passages with you. If I have learned anything during my journey on planet Earth, it is that people need one another. The presence of other people is essential. Caring people, helpful people, interesting people, friendly people, thoughtful people. These folks take the grind out of life. About the time we are tempted to think we can handle things all alone, boom. We run into some obstacle and need assistance. We discover all over again that we are not nearly as self-sufficient as we thought. In our anthem today, My Daily Prayer starts out by saying, if I can do some good today, if I can serve along the way, if I can something helpful say, O Lord, show me how. And listen to the other words as well, because it talks about helping people in distress, people that need something that we are possibly able to give them, whether it just be a smile. And I implore you today to find someone and be kind to them.
Thank you. house of the Lord. Through the grace of God, we do owe a debt of gratitude to the veterans who have served and are serving, who give us the freedom to worship our God in our way in this sanctuary. Let's take a moment. If you are serving in the military, if you have served in the military, if you're a veteran, will you please stand that we may honor you and recognize you this morning? Let us thank our veterans. As Veterans Day comes this week, it is always a meaningful time, to be sure, especially so in my family now, as our uncle, Leo Hergener, passed away a couple weeks ago. We pray for him. He was a corporal in the Army and had retired many years ago, but always was he was a graduate of West Point. He was Army through and through, and would be disappointed in missing another Army-Navy game, but he is being prepared to be buried in Arlington National Cemetery soon, and his family is awaiting that honor. We do thank all those who have served us and continue to serve us as we celebrate and continue to remember in this month of November. As we gather this morning to lift our prayers to God, to give thanks for all that we've been blessed with, and to remember those who are in our hearts and minds, we continue to remember those on our prayer list. I was able to see Kay Patterson this past week, and she's doing well, and thanks you all for the prayers, and continues to enjoy hearing from you. So if you have a chance to give her a call or drop her a card or pay a visit, please do so. The same goes for Harry McDowell, who says the same, and also was able to speak with but not visit Lena Hoag, and she is in need of our continued prayers as she continues to struggle with her various health issues. She's been having a bad week this past week, so let's continue to pray and to remember Lena Hoag. What other joys and concerns do we have with one another, and who do we need to remember on our prayer list today? Dawn? It's a little bit difficult here. Sally is still in the hospital. She's home and on hospice care. Okay, so we pray for Sally Harvey, who's on hospice care now, and we pray for her comfort. Thank you for sharing that with us today. Gary? Pray for Tatum having kidney surgery tomorrow at Children's Hospital. Thank you for sharing that. Jerry? Chuck Hubble, suffering from a blood clot in his brain. Ken? So Jim Doherty is at home, but still struggling with results of congestive heart failure. We'll continue to pray for him. Jim Doherty. Are there others? Pray for Orville, waiting for his kidney transplant and struggling with dialysis. What thanksgivings do we have to share with one another this morning? What good news is happening in our lives and blessings that we've received? Linda? It has been wonderful weather. It sometimes feels like summer out there with the fall decorations. It's been wonderful. We do give thanks for that. Sonny? We do rejoice over grandchildren and give thanks for Faith's good news for her good grades, and we rejoice over that. I also got to have my parent-teacher conference with Owen's teacher, and it went a lot better than last year's parent-teacher conference, so I'm so grateful, so grateful. Thank you. Seeing none other, let us take a... Oh, yes, Ken. That is the best thing. There are a lot of movies that I wouldn't go to unless I have my kids, and there are some very good ones out there. We give thanks for time spent with our grandchildren and helping us to see things we wouldn't normally get to see. Seeing none other, let's take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. We sing your praises, O Lord, for your steadfast love endures forever. We see at this time of year the impermanence of the world. As the leaves fall and the plants begin to die, we see the timeliness of the world that you created, but we are reminded that you endure forever. We also are reminded that as the leaves fall and the trees are bare, they will be brought forth again. For we know that you are generous and loving, and your life endures forever. You who have created the world and have created us, you have done so not that we will be buried into the ground and left as ashes, but that we may live again, more beautiful than before. The promise of your Son, Jesus Christ, who abides with us through your Holy Spirit. When we are hungry and thirsty, Lord, you hear our cries and you deliver us from our distress. Not always in the ways that we would have it be done or imagine to be done. But we know that you are there. And you are more creative and wonderful than we are. When our souls faint within us, you come to our aid. You revive us in pools of water and bless us with humility, that we may seek the welfare of others before our own honor and glory, just as you have done. May your love be our foundation, that our steps may never falter as we seek the welfare of all. For you, Lord, have called us into community, that even though we know that you love us, you love everyone else too. So we are lifted up by your care for us, but we are also called to look outside of ourselves to one another. And this is the basis for your church, your community in this world, as you have called us to be, not the buildings or the walls, not the windows or the pews, but the hearts and the souls and the minds that are there, who work together for a greater good, the building of your kingdom. And help us, Lord, as we celebrate in our church, to understand that we are not the only church who's been called forth to do this. We do rejoice for all the other churches in town, near and far, and give thanks for their work, their efforts, their hearts and souls that are united in your name. Help us to work closer with them and one another, to see each other as members of the same family, not always agreeing or seeing eye to eye, but always being united in our bond of Jesus Christ. For it is he who calls each one of us. From wherever we have come before, whatever our background, it is Christ that calls us together into one body, through the one blood and the one baptism and the one Spirit. And it's because of this that we can then pray for people whom we've never met and may never see, for people who are in different churches or no church at all, for people who know that we are praying for them and those who have no idea. We lift up our prayers this morning. The desires of our hearts, the wants of our souls, we lift them to you. We speak their names out loud. Sally Harvey, we pray, that she is on hospice care, that she find comfort, that hope remain for her family and for her, that comfort be given through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through Tatum, that her surgery will go well, that the third time will indeed be a charm and her kidneys will be made right. For Chuck Hubble, as he battles a blood clot, we pray that he will be made well and that he'll be able to continue to bring joy to children every Christmas and all the things that he does. For Jim Doherty, we pray he will be near and that he will know that you are with him. For Orville, we pray that his kidneys will respond to the dialysis and that a donor will be found soon to help him, to heal him, to strengthen him, to revitalize his life. To all those who served and are serving, we give thanks. We lift them into your care. We pray for their safety and well-being. We pray that their needs be met as they age, and that all the promises made to them will be honored for their service. And Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that we may come to you at all times and all places, knowing that if we knock and you will respond. We give you thanks that you have given us this day. And this wonderful weather we've had all fall, to see the joy that you have for us and the joy that you've placed in this world. But even if the sky were gray and even if the rain were to fall, we know that we should rejoice. For you are behind it all and you give us what we need. We celebrate these things. We celebrate them with ourselves, with our friends and family. We celebrate them with our children and grandchildren, who are the best blessing of all. But to be part of your family is our highest calling. So whatever else we do in our life, in our work, in this world, may we wear proud the name of Christian, the honor of being members of your family in this church. May we work together to spread your honor and glory and goodness of your name, that all who hear it will know that it is a name of love, joy, and salvation to all. In your name we pray these things. Amen. Children, come forward for the junior sermon. Come on down, have a seat. Have a seat. Okay, here comes Ian. Come on, buddy. All right. Okay. Have a seat. Look, you're going to lose a seat if you don't hurry. Oh, I squeeze everybody. Come on, scoot over, Charlotte. Scoot over. Okay. All right, now we're making up a little room here. Are we all good? Okay. Hey, do you guys like to tell knock-knock? Yeah. I'm going to let you tell me a couple knock-knock jokes, and then I'm going to hit you with the best knock-knock jokes you've ever heard in your life. No. Who is there? Yeah. Oh, not yet.
No!
I knew you were going to do that. Hold that one. Who's there? You dare who? Well, all right, your turn. Who's there? You guys got to wait on that one, okay? That's the best one ever. We're going to save that one for last. Knock, knock. Or who? Oh, yes. Who's there? Jesus who? Okay. All right, he is. Let me tell you. Here you go. Knock, knock. Boo. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you cry. Knock, knock. Dwayne the tub, I'm drowning. Dwayne the tub, I'm drowning. Knock, knock. You like that one, don't you? Knock, knock. Canoe, hear me? I'm telling funny jokes. Knock, knock. Tank. You're welcome. Thank you very much for acknowledging my good jokes. Okay. Now that I've gotten you warmed up, what, do you have one? All right, what is it? Who's there? Nobody who?
Nobody knows me.
Okay, let's save him. Because here, I'm ready to blow your minds, even though apparently you've already heard this. The funniest knock, knock joke. All time. Are you ready for it? I'm not sure that you are. Here it goes. Knock, knock. Interrupting cow. Moo! Okay. Alright, let's all take a deep breath. That was a funny joke, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
But you knew it because it was such a funny joke. Tell me after church, okay? Listen, because I got to tell you why I'm talking about knock, okay? Did you know that whenever you pray to God, it's kind of like It's not a joke, though. It's not a joke. It's very serious. Because whenever you pray to God, it's like you're saying, knock, knock. But guess what? God does not say who's there. You know why? Because God already knows. So Tess is praying. It's like saying, knock, knock, God. And God's saying, what do you want, Tess? And Owen's praying, and he's saying, knock, knock, God. And God's saying, what do you want, Owen? And Charlotte's praying, and she's saying, knock, knock, God. Even though he's already talking to Tess and Owen, God's like, what do you want, Charlotte? What do you want, Ellie? What do you want, Mackenzie? Because God knows our names, right? So that, in and of itself, is pretty amazing, isn't it? Because there's lots of kids, isn't there? Aren't there? Lots and lots of kids all throughout the world. And God knows all your names. And adults. And dogs. And God knows all their names. And cats. And all those names. And cows, too. Even the interrupting cows, God knows their names, right? Now, they're not praying. But when you do, so first off, when you knock, when you pray, it's like knocking on God's door, and God always answers. Have you ever knocked on someone's door and there was nobody there? Have you ever gone to someone's house and you go, and no one comes, and no one comes? Isn't that disappointing? You want to see somebody and they don't come? When you got treating, was there ever anybody who didn't come to the door? Yeah, it's just, we knock on God's door, he always answers, right? And it's awesome that God always knows who we are, okay? But then, when we pray to him, God doesn't always give us the answer. He doesn't answer our prayers. It's really important. Funny? It's not funny. Sometimes it can be really upsetting. You ever get upset because you didn't get what you prayed for? It's kind of like when you were like making your list for Santa Claus, right? If you don't get what you want, you get all mad. You shouldn't, but maybe you do. Sometimes that happens. A little secret. Sometimes as adults, we get that way too. But we should always know that God hears us when we pray. God knows our names, calls each of us by name, and answers our prayers. But also, you know that it goes both ways. Do you know that, Charlotte? Do you? Well, that was really a gentle way of saying, turn around. Because Jesus tells us, he says, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you let me in, I will come in and eat with you. And he's not really talking about physically, okay? You know what door he's talking about there? Can you guess? The door of our hearts. Jesus is standing outside of our hearts and going, it's me, Jesus. Let me in. All right? Jesus is coming up to us every day and every month going, hey, Kelsey, it's me, Jesus. I want to be your friend. Right? And he's going, and he's saying, hey, Owen, interrupting cow. Moo. No, he's saying, hey, Juliet, it's me, Jesus. I want to help you with what's making you sad, right? And Jesus is going, hey, Lily, Dwayne the tub, I'm Dwayne. He's saying, hey, Lily, that's Jesus, and I want to come help you be friends with other people, okay? Now, how do we let him in? How do we let him in? We don't really have a door we can open, right? But we could say, come on in, Jesus. Come on in. Come on in my heart. Come on in. Be my friend. Come on in. Come on in and help me. Okay? Come on in and help me. Come on in and make me no longer sad. Right? Come on in and make me no longer scared. Right? This is really important. It's not a joke, is it? But it makes us even happier than the funniest joke ever. Okay? I want you to remember that next time you hear a knock-knock joke. Jesus is always knocking at your hearts. Okay. Give you one chance here. Last one. You want to give me one? Here, let me hear. Who's there?
Gold.
Gold who?
Gold, I found gold.
Pretty good. Gold, I found some gold. All right, we'll remember that. You get the last joke. Thank you. Go to your classes now. Second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 to 44, and that's found on page 49 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Here begins the reading. As Jesus taught, he said, Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor in the banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive their greater condemnation. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. And then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was a kid, I often found it difficult to share. This was particularly so if I had something that I really, really liked. I mean, as you can imagine, the more you like it, the harder it is to share it, right? I remember being told by my mother to share some of my gum with my neighbor, Mikey Cup. It killed me because I knew that exactly how many pieces of Hubba Bubba, grape-flavored Hubba Bubba, that I had, and I knew how long each one would last, and I knew that I was going to have one like every day, and it was going to get me to the weekend, but now I have one less. My reluctance to share candy and treats was caused largely by the fact that as a kid, I didn't get them all that often, and I lived out in the country, so I couldn't run down to Ben Franklin department store and get the penny candy like some of my friends could. I didn't come across candy all that often. So once I had it, I tried to hoard it and keep it to myself as much as possible. And if I was going to share candy, let's be honest, I was going to share the candy that was the candy that I liked the least. Was going to hand out the Necco wafers and those Mary Janes and those other pieces of candy that even didn't have names on them. They just came like wrapped in plain orange wrappers. Taffy. You could have all the taffy I had. But man, do not ask me for my gum. Because that was the thing that I would miss the most. That was the thing I found hardest to part with. As a child, if I gave something to someone else, I would only give what was left over after I got what I wanted for myself. And this did not make me an unusual child, and it still does not. In fact, the writer David Sedaris tells a very funny story about a time when his neighbors, who were kind of strange to begin with because they didn't have a TV, they were out of town and they missed trick-or-treating on Halloween. And so they showed up at his doorstep on November 1st asking if they could have some candy. And as he famously says, asking for candy on October 31st is trick-or-treating, and asking for candy on November 1st is called begging. Well, his mother is very polite, and she doesn't want to send them away, and so she tells him to go get the candy, by which she means go get his candy and give some to the Tomkey kids. He then describes, in great detail, going into his room and stuffing himself with as much chocolate as he could possibly get into his mouth, even though he knew it was going to give him severe headaches. And the chocolate bars, the candy bars, this was from what he called the first batch of candy, the first tier, the prize candy that he got. He had that first. And then he moved on to the second stash of candy, the wax lips and the sweet tarts. And while it hurted him, and he didn't even eat them, he would actually just take bites out of each one just to make sure they would not be palatable to the Tomkey kids. And as he said, although it hurt him to destroy them, it would have hurt him more to give them away. And so his mom finally comes into the room wondering what is taking him so long, and she grabs a bunch of Necco wafers, and he yells, "No, not those, not those," except that his mouth is filled with chocolate, and so really all that comes out is a bunch of chocolate out of his mouth and splashes all over his mother's dress. And as she grabs the candy, she turns to leave. She turns to him and she says, "You should look at yourself. I mean, really, look at yourself." Well, this is what can happen when children are asked to share their valuables. Then it is also true that whenever a child would share something that they treasured, like gum or a chocolate bar, a bag of Doritos, it meant that they were doing something really great, really nice, really generous. It really meant something if they were to do that. And I remember it working both ways. I remember very clearly when other kids would share really good candy with me or a really good candy bar. I knew that was a friend to keep, because having a friend who will give you some of their big league chew is a friend that you want to keep around as much as possible. And never know when they might have something else they might want to share with you. And I learned that lesson young, and I learned that lesson well. And many years later, as a sophomore in college, I met my friend's boyfriend for the very first time, and I instinctively and without thinking offered him some of, or one of, the Pop-Tarts that I was eating. Now, as I remember back on the story, I do not know why I was walking around at 10 o'clock at night with Pop-Tarts in my hand, but it was college, so no one thought it was weird. And our greeting went something like this. My friend Sarah said, "Adam, this is Chris." And I said, "Hey, how you doing, Adam? We want a Pop-Tart." And I found out a couple weeks later, after we were all friends, and after he had invited me and another friend to spend a week at his parents' beach house, that it impressed him that a stranger up to that point would just offer him his Pop-Tart without asking, or without even thinking. Now, you have to understand how valuable a Pop-Tart is to a college sophomore, to understand how a bond of friendship could be so easily made. But it gets even better than that. 2 weeks ago, I told you of my professor who was saved by a hot dog. He was saved when his minister invited him over to have a hot dog with him, and at that point, he had been estranged from his church, and that really made him feel good. He went on to become a minister, and a scholar of religion, and a professor. Well, I want to tell you that I found love in a box of Cheez-Its. It's a very important thing to me. You see, at the beginning of my senior year of college, my friend had made the mistake of his life by breaking up with Jesse Cunningham. And I knew that I wanted to take advantage of that. So looking for excuses to hang around her dorm room, I noticed that she, like me, loved Cheez-Its and always had a box of them in her dorm. So I just kept showing up, claiming that I was hungry and I needed a Cheez-It fix. I needed a snack. Now, it's true that if you feed stray dogs, they will stay. It is also true that if you give Cheez-Its to a college student in love, they will keep coming back as well. But it was also a test on my end. You see, it was a test on my end because I knew that if there was a woman who shared Cheez-Its without complaint, without begrudging, shared them willingly and cheerfully, then she was someone that you wanted to keep by your side as long as possible. And we've been sharing Cheez-Its now for over 20 years. If something is valuable to us, we are less likely to share it. But if we do, if we share the important things and the good things and the things that we find value in, it really means something. It really means something in this world. You see, it was important to me that Jesse didn't just give me what was left, because it truly is a sign that you care about someone when you are not begrudging and sharing with them. And if that is true about our relationship with one another, then what does that say about our relationship with God? God, who has given us so much, who has shared with us so much without even thinking, who has sacrificed so much on our behalf that we cannot even begin to count. We are to be grateful and generous in return to someone who has given us something so simple, but how grateful and generous are we to God, who has given us life itself and promised to give us eternal life after having given us his only Son? How often, though, do we give God what is left rather than give God what is right? Now, there are many ways that we can give to God. One is our actions. When we help one another, when we share with one another, when we do unto others as we would have them do unto us, then we are doing God's will. We are acting as God would want us to act in this world as it is in heaven. Then there is our time. When we come to church, when we participate in its programs, when we take time to pray and to read our Bible, we give our time. And to many people, time is more precious than money. We just don't ever seem to have enough of it. And then there are our talents, our abilities, our gifts. Whatever we are good at, we find a way to use it to the glory of God, the spreading of the gospel, then we are giving of our talents to God. And it should be noted, of course, that God doesn't really need it. There's nothing that we have that God does not. God has more time than we could ever have. God has more talent than we could ever have. And God has better actions than we ever could. But this is the concept of stewardship, being good stewards of all the gifts that God has given us, and it is a very important thing for us. Stewardship is, on the one hand, making the most of our gifts, and on the other hand, stewardship itself is a gift given to us to remind us that what we have comes from God, and we are to use it not just for ourselves, but for others as well. And we usually think of stewardship as simply being money. Money is just one of God's gifts of which we are called to be good stewards. But sometimes it is the hardest thing to give because we feel like it costs the most to give. It could be easier to give time than money because we might feel that we have more time and we're going to get 24 more hours tomorrow. Others may find it easier to give talent than money because when you give talent, you don't lose it. You don't have any less talent. When you sing for God, you don't have any less ability to sing when you're all done. When you help someone fix up a problem in their house, you don't have the less of ability to fix in the way that when you give money, you have less money in your bank account. So as a result, we often give God what is left after we have paid our bills and put some in savings and bought the newest video game and purchased the boots we've been wanting and gotten new tires for winter. When it comes to giving money to God, sometimes we give what is left rather than give what is right. But as we come into November, we come into our time of stewardship emphasis. It's beginning today, we have to ask ourselves, what is right? What is the right amount that we should give? What is the right giving to God, who has more than we ever could? Of course, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament about the tithe, the idea of giving one-tenth of a person's income as the right and proper thing to give to God. But as Christians, we don't follow the Old Testament in a very legalistic manner. Christ came to fulfill the law. We have been freed from the law by him. Instead, we follow the teaching of Christ, who does not actually mention the tithe to his followers, but instead gives us the example of the widow's mite, the story that we've heard today, in which a very poor woman only gives 2 coins. She does so even as the Pharisees give a large sum of money, and the treasury is in a very prominent place that people can see, and in fact, can hear, because the treasury is metal, and if you put coins in it, they will hear. And of course, if you're putting coins in, you're not putting in very much. And in the story that Jesus tells us, the Pharisees, who are well-liked and well-respected, they give a lot of money. And they are celebrated for it. But then this widow that no one sees, except Jesus, she comes forward, and what she gives pales in comparison to what the others have given. 2 mites, it's recorded in the Gospel of Mark. And consequently, while the rich donors are celebrated, her donation is overlooked. What Jesus says to his disciples, truly I say to you that she has given more than the others, for she gave out of her need. She gave all that she had. Now, some have interpreted this passage to mean that we are to give everything to God, and that concerns me, for many a preacher has used stories like these to cheat widows and poor out of what little they have. To give to God to the point where it impoverishes you, I do not believe is right. I do not believe that is what God wants. Instead, I think the lesson here is twofold. One is that nothing is too small to give. No giving is so small that God can't do great things with it. And God judges the gift not by its size, but by its sacrifice. That's the other thing we must remember. And I think that's really the key. What matters the most is that we give God, not that we give God all that we have, but that we give God the most that we can give and trust that God will supply our needs. That when giving, it gives us a good, healthy relationship with money so that we see that we may have been blessed with money to some degree, it is our servant and we not its. That we are God's servants and we trust God to provide as we need. Now, to be sure, when we talk about giving to God, we're talking also about giving to the church. Right? God's church, God's building, God's family in this world. And that's what the stewardship emphasis is as we preach it through November. It's about making sure we have enough money for the needs of the church to be met in the coming year. And to be sure the church needs its tithes. It needs for the people who are able to give 10%. And those who are not, who are giving 4% or 5%, it's good stewardship to take a look at what you're giving and to try and get your way up to that point at some way. To increase by 1% this year or 0.5% every year until you get to that point in which you're able to give a tithe. And when you do so, I think you find that you have a better idea of your money and your income and what you're able to do. I absolutely believe that God blesses those who give, but I wanted to make it absolutely clear that prayers are not answered based on the amount of money you give. Prayers are not strengthened because one gives more than the others. Again, many preachers have gone down that route, and I never will. God gives us the idea of the tithe not because 10% is the magical number in which God's power is unleashed, but because it is a lesson to us not to allow money to have too strong a hold upon us. It's designed to give us a healthy relationship with money so that we see it as a blessing on loan from God and intended to make the world a better place. So the church needs its tithes, but it also needs its mites. So much has been done when gifts, which are small in amount but not in sacrifice, are given in God's name. In our giving to God, we need to remember that it should be some type of sacrifice to us. We should know that no amount is too small. But it should be at least a little bit difficult at first to give it. We should have to give something up in order to make it happen. As our annual stewardship emphasis begins, we take this time to honor and give thanks with a grateful heart for the ways in which God has blessed us in time, talent, and treasure. We are reminded of the church's need and our requirement of members to help it meet its needs. In the coming week, we'll receive a letter just simply describing the financial needs of the church, where your money goes, and where it needs to go, and asking you to examine your own income and your own level of giving to see how you may support it. Then the following week, we have pledges that we send out and will be given here in church, and in 2 weeks, we will receive those pledges as a way for the budget committee to have an idea of how we can plan accordingly for 2016. We always do this in November, partly because that's when our fiscal year ends, and that's when we need to do our planning, and the budget has to be done for December. Mostly, I like to do it because November is a time to count your blessings, to give thanks, to remember the sacrifices of those who have gone before that make it possible for us to worship freely in this church, as well as those who sacrificed to make this church happen over 180-some years. And we must also consider how much then we will sacrifice and be able to sacrifice, so that the church can continue to be a blessing, not only to ourselves, but to unborn generations to come. As we all examine ourselves and our ability to give, the total amount is not how the gift is judged. Rather, it is judged by whether we give what we can after we take care of everything else, or we give with a grateful heart, even if it is a sacrifice to do so. That is the difference between giving to God what is left and giving to God what is right. Let us be prayerful in our consideration, but above all, let us be generous and grateful in our giving, for God has given us so much. It is right that we give back some of our own. Amen. Now the community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 481 in the Brown Hymnal. Fill my cup, Lord. I was in seminary, my first roommate, John, told me a story that I always remember. That he was older than me, and he told me the story. He was a bachelor, and he one Christmas had no place to go for Christmas. He was about 40-some years old and single, and his friend invited him over to have dinner with his family. And he was really touched by that and really gracious, really grateful for that. So he went out and bought presents for the members of the family. And when they gathered together and they had the great meal and he gave them the presents, the father went behind the house or left the living room where they were. And he came back a few minutes later with some presents for John. You always remember those presents. It was a can of WD-40 and a pair of used gloves. And he said to me, he said, it was clear that they hadn't bought him any presents and they were trying to throw stuff together. And he said it would have been better if they hadn't gotten him anything at all. And in fact, what he was trying to say to them is that just inviting him to their meal was a present. And that's what inspired him to share with them. It's important because oftentimes when we buy gifts for one another, we think of it as this, creates this obligation. Or we buy gifts, we give out of obligation. And that's not really why we should do so. And I think that's important to remember as we gather at this table. Because when we gather at this table, we remember the gifts of God. All of them. So many of them. We call the bread and the wine, we call these the gifts of God. The gifts of God for the people of God. And let's be very clear that there is nothing we can give that can even approach what God has given us. So if we give out obligation, we're going to lose just right off the bat. We're going to pale in comparison. God's going to look down and go, you gave me this? I gave you my son on a cross. You gave me this? We're going to lose right away. But fortunately, that's not how God looks at things. Not the way that we look at things. The gifts that are given to God, if they are given gratefully, if they are given generously, if they are given out of love and not obligation, they are always the right gift. Always the perfect gift. Always the right size and the right color. Always exactly what God wants. When we gather at this meal, we remember that Jesus Christ does stand at our door and knock, and all he wants is to be let in. And that is the proper response to the gifts of God for the people of God. To let Christ into our hearts. And we may have done so before, but let's do it again. Because we need to be reminded and we need to be refreshed and we need to be renewed and our faith needs to be recommitted again and again. So let us share in this meal this morning. Let us share the gifts of God for the people of God. And remember that we can't be that if we haven't let God into our hearts this week, just as we did before. If we do this, if we let Christ into our hearts, then sure, we will be more generous people. We will be kinder people, more loving people. But above all, we will be Christ-like. And the only way that we can, because we have simply accepted the greatest gift that God has ever and can ever given us. And instead of paying it back to God, we leave this table committing ourselves to pay it forward, that others may have that gift as well. Because that's a gift, as we share, that we do not have any less of. And in fact, I think we have more. And now this morning, let's pray.
Lord, I thank you once again for coming and meeting us here at this table as we partake of the bread and the cup. Father, forgive us for any wrongdoing that we have done this past week. Fill our hearts and souls with the Holy Spirit so that we can go out and preach the gospel to every creature as you have instructed us to do. And Lord, in a few short days, it will be Veterans Day. And I personally want to thank every veteran who has served our great country and is serving now. Father, may we be blessed by their presence and may we be able to thank them in some small way for what they have done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he takes the cup. And after having blessed it, he poured it out. And said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Now the community responds to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 682 in the Brown Hymnal, A Song of Peace, verses 1 and 4, and let us stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Before I bow our heads for the benediction, I'd just like to remind you of the coffee hour and the food that awaits us in the fellowship hall. And I would just like to let you know that you need to get there quickly before I eat all the pumpkin dessert that has been laid out for us. I invite you to linger a while to share the food and the fellowship with one another. And now let us bow our heads for the benediction. Step confidently into the waters of grace, work humbly in the service of others, proclaim boldly the glory of our God as the Spirit leads us into life and new life and life everlasting. Amen.